Deep within the heart of God, the plan was unfolding. It was an unlikely plan, improbable, unthinkable. The storyline would be one for the ages, full of twists and turns and the most unexpected events. God would rescue his people by actually becoming one of them. The sovereign Lord of the universe would wrap himself in human flesh. The King of heaven would become a baby. And this is that story. All along the way, God had given us clues as to just how these events would take place. And it was the prophet Micah who spoke of the town that would witness firsthand this miraculous birth. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times.
Story, the weak are to be made strong, the lowly are to be exalted, the poor in spirit will become spiritually rich, those that mourn will be comforted, and the meek, they inherit the earth. And so the announcement of the birth of Messiah was first made to some shepherds, lowly, outcast, and of little reputation. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord.
Okay.
the announcement to the shepherds wasn't made by any of the local villagers, or even by some highly respected prophet. The proclamation of the birth of God's Son was delivered by a host of angelic beings, filling the night sky with a symphony of praise. Hundreds, perhaps thousands, of God's messengers pierced the darkness with an astounding message of hope. The Savior, Christ the Lord, had been born to them in Bethlehem, the city of David. "Glory to God in the highest," they rang out, "and peace, peace on earth."
Spectacular, amazing birth in history? In Bethlehem? Why not Rome or Jerusalem or even Nazareth, the hometown of Joseph and Mary? After all, they were chosen to be Christ's earthly parents. Any of these would seem logical to us and to our human way of thinking, but in God's story, human thinking is replaced by divine strategy, and mortal reasoning gives way to the wisdom of the ages. This then was the plan. God's Son, love incarnate, would make his entrance, not among the lofty and noble, but in the quiet, seemingly insignificant village of Bethlehem.
Thank you.
Names have always been of particular importance to God. In naming or renaming his people, he shares his secret blueprint for their lives. And when he chose to reveal the names his son would be given, he offered a glimpse into his very essence. You are to call him Jesus, the angel told Joseph, because he will save his people from their sins. Centuries before, Isaiah had spoken with prophetic clarity the royal titles to be given him: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Angels would proclaim him, shepherds would adore him, and wise men would seek him out. That baby in a manger was the Savior of the world, and he had the names to confirm it.
For as long as any of us can remember, the message of Christmas has been accompanied by the songs we sing. These carols, depicting the advent of our Messiah, clearly depict the miracle we celebrate. It seems that God will use any means possible, or even impossible, to herald his promise of hope and love and forgiveness. And so, we sing. We sing of a birth, of shepherds and angels, of wise men and a star, of joy to all the world, all these carried along on the wings of our song.
There's a song in the air.
Oh, the manger of Bethlehem.
Like any good story, this one, God's story, calls us to respond. We can cast it aside just as a fable, or we can bow in reverent worship. We can label it as irrelevant, or we can give our very lives to embrace it. No matter our response, we simply can't ignore it. The only question, what will we do with this? The truth of God's story. Come, let us adore him.